As we turn to the preaching of God's word, I want to invite you to turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. This morning I'll be preaching from one verse, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. But as we begin this morning, I'll begin by reading at verse 8 of 1 Timothy chapter 3. If you're using our pew Bible, the actual verse 13 is on page 1263. So hear now the living word of God. This is 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 to 13. Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let them also be tested first. Then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. May the Lord bless the reading and now also the preaching of his word. Well, as I've mentioned a few times already in this service, it's a special day in the life of this congregation as we ordain our brother Nick Brower to the office of deacon. And it's in many ways a day that's been coming for some time now, as the meeting that we had to elect Nick to this office was back in November. And by various providences of our Lord, it hasn't been until this Sunday in March that we've actually been able to have this service. But as this, we look at this 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, and this is a service in which we're ordaining Nick to the office of deacon. This message isn't just for Nick, it's for all of us. And this message isn't just for office bearers, it's for every brother and sister in Christ. Because really those attributes that were are called out in the office of deacon that I just read. And if you go back a few verses before in chapter 3, the office of elder, these are all character traits and qualities that as people of God were to strive for, and that office bearers are to emulate and be examples of, but they're to be something that we're all to strive for, and even office bearers will each admit that we do them imperfectly. But this message is for all of us, as we are all servants of Christ. We are all servants of our holy God. And as servants of Christ Jesus, we're called to seek a good standing and boldness in the faith. That's the application of these verses. That as servants of Christ Jesus, let us seek a good standing and boldness in the faith. We'll be looking at those in two points. As servants of Christ, seek a good standing, and then as servants of Christ, seek boldness in the faith. Now, as we consider, as servants of Christ, seek a good standing, we read again in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13, "For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus." So the first part of that verse, "For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves." Good standing, what does that mean? What does a good standing mean? Well, it references a rank or status or a position in a community. It's, you can look at it this way, when people do things well, it's good for them to be recognized. If people who do things well in various labors or various lines of work, there's at times a celebration of what they've done and a recognition of what they've done. There's by a community, a recognition that they are excelling and doing well in whatever field that might be. So this is something that's to be in the mind of those who serve as deacons. And it's to be in the mind of those, all of us who are children of God. Let us live in such a way that we are seeking a good standing. Isn't this something that's good for us to do and to seek? Now, briefly, this also points to the fact that the office of deacon is not a second class or a second rate office. It is an office of the church that Jesus Christ has established. It is necessary for the church. as we see in the book of Acts, the great benefit of the office of deacon as it is implemented for the first time, and the apostles are able to devote themselves to the work of ministry of the word, and the deacons take on the more physical tasks and labors of mercy ministry, the church is blessed and is benefited, and it grows and it flourishes. The office of deacon is not something to be looked at as a stepping stone. Like, maybe I'll serve as office of deacon for a little bit on my way to being an elder. It is a good and necessary and important office in and of itself. And I think Paul is calling us to that to attention here, that those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves. There is recognition for those who serve well. Now, as we consider this concept of a good standing, this can be something that we tend to shy away from. Aren't we just supposed to do our work and do our labors as good servants without any expectation of any reward whatsoever? Isn't this putting some type of stumbling block before us of doing our work so that we would gain something for ourselves? We're gaining a good standing. And we kind of get that idea from Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about not praying or not fasting in ways that people on the outside will see exactly what's going on and give you praise for what you're doing. You know, in the teaching on fasting, you know, he tells them, you know, keep adorning yourself as you normally do day to day. Don't make yourself look miserable and bad so that people will obviously know from the outside that you're fasting. You know, don't do that. And his reason for doing that is that your Father who sees in secret will see what's going on. And we use those teachings of Jesus to in a good sense, shy away from doing things for the sake of gaining some reward, of gaining some recognition. And that is what Jesus is teaching. But we also need to look at it within the context of what he is teaching on the broader sense in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, where he teaches his the people before him to let their light shine. You don't light a candle and you put it under a basket. You know, you don't, in our day and age, you know, we don't turn on a light in our houses and then just put a dark casing over the light bulb so that no light gets out. You know, your light is supposed to shine. Light is supposed to be seen. And it's in that context of doing things so that God is glorified. That's Jesus' ultimate teaching. You know, we are called by God to live in such a way not to glorify ourselves, but to glorify him. Because as we consider in Matthew chapter 6 that our Father who sees in secret will reward, you know, the distinction that Jesus is making here between those that do things on the outside, praying in ways that draw attention to themselves, or fasting in ways that draw attention to themselves, is that they receive their reward, because what they are doing is they're doing all those things so that people around them will see and give them praise and glorify them and hold them up on a pedestal. And that's not what Jesus, that's not what God desires for us to do. The distinction between doing good works of serving well is and doing so is for whose glory are we doing it for? Are we doing it for our own glory, our own recognition, or are we doing it for the glory of Christ and the good of Christ's bride? You know, God calls us in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 and following, our Lord, our God teaches us to not be anxious. Not to be anxious. And he says at the close of those verses, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Our motivation is to be the glory of God, the glory of Christ. Now, when we consider what Jesus says there, do not be anxious for these things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. This passage is sometimes used as almost a motivation to earn material wealth or material blessing, material prestige. But that's not what Jesus says. If you look back at the beginning of that teaching, what does he talk about? People are worrying about what they're going to eat. People are worrying about what they're going to wear. The basic necessities of life. And Jesus is saying, don't worry about those basic necessities of life. Seek first the kingdom of God, and those things will be added to you. God will bless you and give you what you need. Don't worry about them. He doesn't promise prosperity. He promises, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, our daily bread. Seek first the kingdom of God, not to seek our own glory, but serving and seeking the glory of Christ and his bride. Now, if we do this, brothers and sisters, if we seek the glory of Christ and the good of his church, we will be serving well. And specifically to Nick, as you looked at taking up this office, if you're wondering how am I going to do this, the Lord God will give you the grace to fulfill your calling and your work. But as you have as your motivation, and the other deacons here and the other elders as well, as we serve officially the body of Christ, let that be our goal. Let that be our motivating factor. What will glorify God? What will be good for his church, for his bride? And let us do that. We may not receive any thanks. And you, brothers and sisters, as you see needs for the church and you see ways that you could serve, we hope you take opportunity to do those things. Nobody may notice. Nobody may come up to you and pat you on the back and say, I really appreciate you did that. It may go unnoticed forever, but our Lord Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, sees what is done in secret. And he will reward you. Now this is really ultimately where this good standing is pointing us to. It means, you know, as we serve well, as we do what is required of us, as we seek the glory of Christ, people will look at us and see that we're doing, where our light is shining, not for our own glory, but for the glory of Christ. But the good standing we are ultimately after and we are ultimately seeking is the good standing before our Heavenly Father. Is our good standing before our Heavenly Father. Now, as we consider this good standing, I want to make sure that we all understand that what is not being said here is that we earn God's favor or we earn his approval. As you serve, as you see ways to meet the needs of this body, as you serve maybe in an official capacity or unofficial capacity, know that you already have as good a standing before God as you will ever be given. That's to motivate us in a way to seek opportunities to serve and to do good, because sometimes in our weakness, what's whispered in our ear is, well, I don't want to mess up, or I don't want to look like a fool, I don't want to do such and such, or maybe somebody will recognize me. We can move forward in serving Christ in his church and do it faithfully, knowing that it's not going to change how God sees us in Christ. It's not going to diminish the love that he has for us. And although we can't improve upon the love and the grace that God shows us, he gives that to us of his own free will, as our Heavenly Father, as earthly fathers and mothers would still love their children and delight to them, but sometimes they maybe do something that we are really proud of, and sometimes they do things that I'm not so sure about that. This good standing that we have before God, it's not anything that makes us qualified for salvation before him, but as a loving Father, he does delight when we do things, however imperfect for him. He does delight in these things that are done in faith in Jesus Christ through the work of his Holy Spirit. As the fruit of his Spirit is seen in our lives, our God does take delight in those things. And that should really be our ultimate goal, isn't it? As we serve things, as we do what is right before other people? Is that our goal, that those people would then pat us on the back and give us praise? Or is it so that our Heavenly Father would see us and take delight in what we are doing, however imperfect it may be? Maybe one way you could think of it is how, you know, sometimes small children, really small children, and they give us these drawings that you can't really tell what's going on. But as parents, we love it. And we put up on our refrigerators. Any good work we do, even by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, is one of those drawings. But as a Heavenly Father, our God delights in it. It's when we try to do things of our own accord. It's when we try to do things for our own glory. It's when we try to do things on our own strength, for our own recognition, that He despises, that He does not care for. So the good standing that we are to seek, brothers and sisters, is ultimately the pleasure and the delight of our God and Savior. He has already laid down His life for us. He has already made that ultimate sacrifice for us. He has already laid upon us as much love and grace as can, beyond what we can even imagine. And nothing will take that from us. But let us seek to delight Him and to please Him in works that we do in Christ. We already have the standing of righteousness before Christ. But we are called, brothers and sisters, to live in such a way as to seek to please our God, as to seek to cause Him to delight in us. And we are assured through the promises of Scripture that as we, through His grace, by the work of the Holy Spirit, through faith in Christ, that whatever imperfect good works we do, He takes delight in them. Not in the good works in and of themselves, but that as we, as His children, are seeking to please Him by faith in Jesus Christ through His grace. And so, Nick, and our brothers and sisters, this is what we are called to by Peter, by Paul, is to seek a good standing by serving in such a way that glorifies our Christ and builds up His church, His bride. Secondly, as servants of Christ, seek boldness in the faith. Paul goes on, "For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus." Now, this word confidence here, it references not simply the idea or that we might have of confidence in something and trusting in something as if we're growing in our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's a word that can be translated as being frank, of being bold, of being open. It's the idea of you are confident about something and so you speak about it frankly and boldly and openly. Somebody with this confidence, with this boldness, is living their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in such a way that it is plain, that is open for everyone to see and to benefit from. It is lived confidently. It is lived boldly. Now, how is this tied to serving well? Because that's what Paul is connecting here. Those who serve well as deacons gain also great confidence or great boldness in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. One of the great blessings that we receive and we have in this life as followers of Jesus Christ is a clear conscience. You know, as the Apostle Paul was standing before Felix and the governor in Acts chapter 24, and he's giving his account of things that have transpired, he talks about how he has a clear conscience before both God and men of what he was teaching and how he was living. And he also says in such a way that he took great pains to have this clear conscience. It's something that he strove for. In his life, in his ministry, in what he, how he served the Lord Jesus Christ, he did it in such a way so that he would first of all have a clear conscience before God, but also have a clear conscience before men. So that even if men or women would come to him and as they were of charging him with something, that he would still have a clear conscience because he knew what he was doing was according to what God had decreed. It was according to what God desired. It was according to what God had revealed. So he was serving in such a way as to have this clear conscience. And this clear conscience can only come from our Lord Jesus Christ in his work in us. You know, Psalm 36 speaks of the benefit of a clear conscience and what typically happens if we don't have a clear conscience before God or before men. And we read in Psalm 36, transgression speaks to the wicked deep in his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flatters himself in his own eyes, that his iniquity cannot be found out and hated. The words of his mouth are trouble and deceit. He has ceased to act wisely and do good. He plots trouble while on his bed. He sets himself up, or he sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not reject evil. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like the great deep. Man and beast you save, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. O continue your steadfast love to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright of heart. Let not the foot of arrogance come upon me, nor the hand of the wicked drive me away. There the evildoers lie fallen. They are thrust down, unable to rise. The contrast that is here is one of those who deep in their hearts delight in evil and wickedness are brought to ruin. But those through the steadfast love and mercy of God do not harbor sin but submit to him, are given life and feed upon his delights. This confidence or boldness that we have in Christ Jesus is through serving in a way that glorifies our Lord Jesus Christ, in a way that he has prescribed by his grace. This is how we gain boldness in the faith of having a clear conscience before God in the way that we live, in the way that we serve by his grace. We are bold to proclaim and to live out our faith. Now, if we harbor sin, if we hold on to it, the Psalms also teach us that the Lord's hand comes upon us and brings us misery to a certain degree to bring us to humble repentance. But in Jesus Christ, by his grace, we live and we serve well and we have this clear conscience that is given to us in Christ. This is how serving well is tied to boldness as we serve and as we live in the faith and out the faith in Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, let us seek a clear conscience before God and men, serving in such a way that we can serve boldly, we can live boldly for Christ, knowing that there isn't something in the secret. You know, it's Elder Paul Perkins in the introduction of Psalm 101 today. Gave us the little glimpse of how, you know, David would not tolerate such things in his palaces. And he briefly mentioned how in our own homes, in our own personal lives, when the lights aren't on, you know, people aren't looking and seeing, are we still living in a way that honors and glorifies Christ? When the only one who sees is our Heavenly Father, are we still living in a way that honors and glorifies him? Is our light still shining when no one is there to see it? That is what we are called to here, brothers and sisters. And this isn't on our own strength. This isn't by what we do or what we bring to the table. It is all through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. As his Holy Spirit has been given to us, we are promised that fruit of the Spirit. As we abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we are grafted into that living branch, we will bear that fruit that vine and that branch as John 15 tells us, is meant to produce. And so, brothers and sisters, let us to seek to live in such a way that we have a clear conscience before God and men. That we have boldness to proclaim, not only with our words, with our lives, the faith that is in Christ Jesus alone. That He is the reason for our works that we do. That our works don't shine a light upon us. But if we can say, as the Apostle Paul says, as I emulate Christ, follow me. We too, brothers and sisters, should strive for a point where we could say to other people, as I follow Christ, follow me. Not because I am good, not because I receive glory, but Christ, through His work in me, is glorified. And that's an important distinction to make. And so as we consider today one who is being set aside officially for the office of deacon, this office of service, let us not think that this message is just for Nick, but it is for all of us. All of us, deacons, elders, and brothers and sisters, and lady of the congregation. Let us, as servants of our Lord Jesus Christ, live and serve Him in such a way that we have a good standing, that our light shines as an example, and that we can have a clear conscience and boldness and confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus alone. So as servants of Jesus Christ, seek a good standing and boldness in the faith. Amen. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your work in us. We know, Lord, that apart from the work of Jesus Christ, any good that we do is nothing but a filthy rag, abhorrent and offensive to You. We thank You, Lord, that through Your love and the grace that has been shown to us by the work of Your Holy Spirit in us, molding us and shaping us into the glorious image of Jesus Christ, that as His fruit is born out in us, that we glorify not ourselves but You. And may we seek, Lord, not our own glory, but may we serve each and every one of us, even if nobody is there to give us thanks, even if no one ever recognizes what we do. May we still, Lord, serve You faithfully and seek Your glory and the good of Your church. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.